It's on.
Sounds good.
So as you know, as you know, we had the Government Finance Officers Association, GFOA, working on an assessment of financial practices in the county. That report was completed in August of this year. So I'm about to say last year, but we're not quite there yet. But felt like last year. So they were able to finally get out here and spent some time on site a couple weeks ago, the 11th, 12th, and 13th of December. I think those meetings were helpful, moving us forward. So just wanted to provide a little bit of summary of those meetings and have maybe some Q&A about where those discussions went, and then also talk a little bit about what the next steps might look like before we get too far down the path. So that was really the intent of this item. I was happy that you, some of you were able to make, I think all of you actually, to at least some of the Friday discussion on the 13th. The 11th and 12th were largely topic-driven, kind of going off of their assessment report. We're walking our way through each one with various stakeholders who were involved. So accounting was involved in a fair number of those discussions, as well as the treasurer and her office. And then various subject matter experts in various departments and other users, so purchasing being maybe one of the primary ones. So the idea, the format of those meetings was essentially to have Craig Lesner with GFOA talk about the report, the findings that they had when they were here before and what was written up, and then really kind of truth that, verify that those are the right findings, because I think there's some, bless you, some
thank you.
Anxiety and concern and whatever. People who didn't agree with some of those findings, and so the clarification around the findings, and then some discussion around best practice type of thing from GFOA's perspective, like what do they normally see in some of those things. And so we talked through a number of items. The basic flow of it, I guess, was purchasing and purchasing or procurement cards, P cards, sort of one group in the morning on Wednesday, talking about, and I think you know you were part of that conversation on Friday, but why can't we do this now? And, well, we can, but what priority does it have? And how soon can we do it? And what is dependent upon it? In terms of P cards, it's issuing an RFP, but it's also making sure that our treasurer and treasurer's department, treasury, is willing and able and comfortable with all those things from a sort of alignment standpoint of how we do things. And then make sure we're in alignment as well with the purchasing department, the individuals that we have as purchasing agent, making sure she has capacity to move forward with some of these projects in a timely way. So talk through that. Went through capital asset tracking, financial reporting. Generally speaking, a lot of the reporting stuff is mostly in the accounting world of what is it that people want to see in the user departments, and what are the things that accounting might need to have just for their own the financials, essentially, what are the reporting requirements are. But then payroll was something that we talked about for a while, and as you're well aware, we've talked about for a long time in the county whether or when we do bi-weekly payroll, payment in arrears, what are the mechanics of that, some of those things, so that we talked through that, and what the assessment said, which I think there was some concern about what practices were in place at the time GFOA came through, as well as what our current practices, given that we've gotten a little bit more mature with this, and we're able to kind of have a better handle on how ESS and employee self-service is working in Munis for our staff. I think a lot of the issue with payroll, as you're well aware, is that we have multiple different things going on there in terms of the sheriff's payroll versus other payroll, the exceptions, the time it takes staff to track down the time when it's been entered, and all those fun things. So there's a lot of moving parts in payroll, which makes it more complex. we talked about budget development and both from operations and capital standpoint, and really kind of what it takes now, what it should take, what the goals are. And then we moved into chart of accounts, which I think, based on the Friday discussion when we voted, came out as the most important thing because of its pervasive nature. It covers, touches everything. So it's a question of how do we implement changes to the chart. And so the time spent in that discussion on Thursday was really explaining what GFOA does recommend as far as a chart, which is that it's unique to each agency, has to make sense to you and how you use your financials and what you're trying to get out of that, you know, what information you're trying to get out of your financials in order to make decisions. So I think the idea of the chart was discussed in context originally with the project and grant accounting, which was the next item on that day, and really a module of Munis, but also a practice in terms of tracking the various large efforts we have going on. One of the interesting things about the project and grant accounting discussion, which doesn't sound like a super interesting topic, but one of the interesting things was Craig talking about the familiarity he has with Munis, that it has capability of tracking activities as well as projects and grants. So the idea of activity would be something where we're trying to maybe find out how much we put towards opioid prevention or, you know, to recreation or to other topics, but that aren't necessarily things we're going to track forever and ever and ever. So you have your project, your level of financial detail, but you also want to capture and wrap around all of those things that are maybe in different parts of your chart and sum those up on a regular basis and be able to report on those and see the activity, and that's an activity. Munis has that capability, so it might provide data for decision-making if you're thinking about...
But all of that stuff is probably contingent upon getting the chart of accounts done.
It's part of chart of accounts, but it would also be part of the project and grant module. Yeah, so it's built into that module, but you would need more detail in your chart. And that seemed to be something that everybody in that Thursday discussion was interested in, thinking about being able to report to you all about whatever topic of interest. And, you know, I'm just trying to think of, like, internal service, for instance. Like, how much time does it take to do payroll? Or how much does it cost? Or something like that. You know, you can pull those activities and learn something rather than sort of just go up.
And be able to add and delete those activities over
exactly.
time.
Right.
That's my concern, is that
they're not
you don't have to get the chart of accounts absolutely perfect the first time, and that's what you're living with forever.
No, although, you know, you don't want to mess around. I don't think you want to get your chart as
close
to what you need it for.
Especially at that highest level.
Right. So I think the idea was that we fix the chart in a way that's coherent to where we think we'd like to go, thinking we want to have this level of detail when it comes to...
Because all of that stuff probably has to come through on the numbering on the chart of accounts then, probably. That's the project team.
It comes in the project, and then I think you can pull the project information from
the chart. But don't they pull the project out by being part of the chart of accounts, by the chart of accounts number?
Yeah, it would be built into the chart, but the activity would not be a permanent piece of the chart, right? So it would pull the project code out of the chart and be able to pull that information into an activity. So, yes, the project part would need to be built into the chart. That's why we were talking about those two in particular, because of the way that Munis functions.
And for grant reporting as well, it's about that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the overarching thing with GFOA, and generally speaking with Munis, was to try to find ways to save time. Arguably, if you're saving money, it would save time, but just looking for efficiencies of how we do things now, how we could do things, what the system is also set up to do, you know, because I think that's part of any software implementation. You know, you want it to be comfortable and look the same as the way you've been doing things, and you end up moving away from the way the system is intended to work. So trying to get back to that concept of, you know, using the system as it should work so that it saves us time and hopefully gives us better information to make good.
But the bottom line is, it's just like this PBB. I mean, it's hard to get the old numbers. I mean, the old numbers, I mean...
To get history.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you have
it's
to have...
It's going to be from the start point, whatever, and be able to move forward from there.
You're going to lose history.
I think, or you're not going
to
find
that.
Yeah.
You just have to look at it in a different way.
Yeah, I think you would have different reporting and yeah, how you would access that information. I think it's most, I don't know if the most important thing that Craig said, but the thing that stuck with me the most in terms of what we're trying to accomplish here was really we're trying to get away from data entry being the focus of all of our time and being get to data analysis. So, you know, rather than worrying so much about getting all the information into Munis and spending all of our time verifying that, let's make the system work the way it's supposed to, which is that the information just flows into it because we're using all the modules or we're using all those pieces, and then we're spending our time on why are we doing it this way. So I think by starting at some point here, you're going to get to that change, I guess, you know, where you're in a new realm of actually doing analysis. Anyway, I mean, I think the last couple topics on the way we met on Thursday were essentially viewed as not as important, which was banking services and accounts receivable. I think that the conversation in the meetings was really those are dealt with training and with things outside of Munis and our lower priorities.
It sounds like some departments are already doing some of that. They just need to spread that information or a wealth of information around.
I think it's, back to the training thing of, you know, here's a guide and or here's a practice that we expect you to use and move forward from there. So those meetings were helpful. Ultimately we got to Friday and we voted. And so, I mean, the order of importance I think you all saw was chart of accounts, budget, project grant accounting, purchasing P-cards, asset module, or asset management module, payroll, reporting, training, CIP, banking, credit card, RFP, and then miscellaneous billing. And it didn't change, I can't recall if you were all there all day, but it didn't change until the end of the day. I mean, it really wasn't that the priorities changed, but I think what will change as we get into building out the action plan is that the time frame and the contingencies will influence what gets done first, even though these are still high priority items. They might move down in implementation cycle. So what we did commit to and what I think I summarized in the agenda communication is really like kind of where we landed on who's going to do what. And so, in essence, chart of accounts, IT would take on, along with the budget module as a pilot. We talked a lot about using pilots, really a way to minimal impact and allow more things to happen, because each sort of user that was concerned about something could implement it themselves, and we wouldn't have this, pervasive time suck. And so hopefully that work, I think we're going to have to see once we get the plan together.
So does that mean theoretically, if the airport is doing the
project grant accounting?
I was thinking about the budget module.
IT is going to do that one.
Okay.
Yep. But.
But does that mean that, like for the 2021 budget, for example, they might be the only one using it?
Could be.
Okay.
I mean, depending on timing,
yeah,
it could be.
Because that's the one that has like an annual cycle. Everything else is kind of, to happen.
Yeah.
Whenever, do you know what I mean?
Well, all the pool managers have an annual cycle. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Motor
that's
pool doesn't
point.
Have any different. It has the same annual thing as as IT does.
Right. So like procurement or project grant or chart of accounts. I mean, you could those are kind of could be on a rolling basis. Whereas a pilot of something like a budget module would need to happen
around the same time.
Well, in line with the budget, right?
Right.
And that's part of the concern had been from our standpoint was trying to make sure that we move forward in a way that didn't push it 2 years out.
Right.
And, that concept of, well, we got to wait because we're not on the right cycle. Well, we need to start moving on some of this implementation. So I think there's some things they can do in the test environment in the Munis world.
I mean, it'll be, I'm not going to be a naysayer, but, I'll have to see that the budget module is going to be, everybody we talk about duplication of services and how many people gets to enter things three or four times. And
right.
I hope that we're just not adding another version on it. So,
well, I think we have to make sure we don't. Because if history is any indication, accounting is going to want to make sure that we're doing it two ways so that
they have their eyes on everything, yes.
Yeah. And then it does just do that, and
yeah, I think the way it was demonstrated, which obviously is the ideal world or whatever, you know, you can enter information in throughout the year. It's not just restricted to, you know, the time when you're supposed to build your budget. I mean, you can actually think about things that are wish list items maybe, and you know, you want to plan to input for the next year's budget cycle. But you can also track those things. And when you're building it, I guess the way I looked at the budget module, it was almost like Legos. You know, you're thinking about each.
This is the Munis, module.
Yeah, the Munis module. You're building it in each effort. So, you know, it's going to.
Are we talking about this being a benefit to us for operational, or are we talking about this being a benefit to us in the pool operation?
I think it's going to be a benefit across the board. I
mean, yeah. For both.
Yes. Yeah, I think.
Because we had that discussion too. Craig, we still might end up having to do the pools. And then...
No, I don't think that's what Craig said.
Well,
he said he was going to get you to the pool concept, and it might be called something different or look different.
Yeah, I mean, his comment was the pools is really about making sure we have the money for replacements.
Yeah,
Call it pool or call
refunding.
It something else.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
So I think in his world, he was thinking in his way of doing it versus maybe our way of doing it, that it fits into Munis and it can be part of the project development.
I think that was such a curveball to him that he was really struggling with conceptually how to get there, but I think I came away with the level of confidence that he could get us.
Well, and I think Dan and Tom are very clear that there's no change in policy happening,
right.
Even
that's
if
right.
the way we account for it changes or whatever. There's no change in policy.
The pools are all about having the money there to make the purchase.
Right.
So, Dan, did you...
In the right year.
Right.
Did the priority list match up with the way you thought it was going to go? Or maybe to ask the question a different way, do you think the group got it right?
It was interesting. I was sitting next to Craig, and he said that there actually is a right list. And he didn't tell me if this was the right one or not, in his opinion, but... I think, generally speaking, I don't have any argument with the list. I think there's some nuances of, I guess, my own interpretation of the list and why things maybe were lower ranked than other items. You know, I think the budget module was as high as it was because, you know, the chart of accounts and budget are pervasive. Everybody uses
them.
Where project grant accounting, you start to, you know, iron, you know, or get fewer and fewer people out. And you know, then you've got purchasing, you know, which has an impact, but I think there was some resistance to the idea that people had to have a paper trail for everything that they do. And honestly, I don't think that that's...
they don't get to have resistance about that.
I don't know that that's something that was a Munis thing or anything. I mean, it was just best practice. And so then it's just implementation around those things. That
like I said, it's the implementation. It's a malleable list.
I think so.
It may not end up being the way things actually get done.
No, I think of it like a Gantt chart, and that there are going to be some things that just happen sooner because they're already in process or they're easy.
They get done quicker.
Yep.
Yeah, I wish I would have been able to stay for the whole thing, but a key component here to me is that champions basically were identified for each project. So you have some overlap of who needs to participate, but the champions to move them forward are key, and I think that is how it's going to happen. And I think it can happen on a timely basis with a number of these happening at the same time, taking place at the same time. So I really like what, from Dan's description, what Craig did with that session.
I was struggling a little bit, and I wasn't voting, but, you know, I want the biggest bang for the buck, quickest, easiest, get down and dirty fast.
I think that's where the implementation is.
You know, and again, I think that's where the kind of the discussion with the P cards come in. So, there's no reason why we can't do and get rid of them damn credit cards.
Agreed.
Even if it's not the highest priority,
exactly.
It's quick.
There's no reason why it can't start.
And there's a quick payback on it, too.
Right.
I mean, there's
and
there's success to be achieved.
Yep.
I mean,
we checked one thing off the list, and it's like getting rid of paychecks. You know,
it is sort of a low hanging fruit.
Everybody's happy.
So, who are the project managers accountable to?
I think probably to us and then to you all, but I ultimately I think what we need to see, what I I guess I'm holding off a little bit of, you know, some of the way that this shook out is seeing it all together too, right? You know, to know how many departments are in everything, you know, because, you know, the airport raised their hand for a lot of things, or, you know, do they have the bandwidth to do that? And, you know, are we then, you know, do we have to get leaner on some of those teams to make sure we're moving forward in an appropriate manner, and seeing what the steps are. It's hard to plan and, you know that we've got the right people on those teams until we see it across all those projects, I think.
So some are upper management is going to have to step in.
Yeah, I think definitely have to
guide that process.
Involved, guide it, but, you know, just make sure.
Well, I think there was some discussion during the meeting, you know, was deadlines,
yep.
dates,
yep.
come up yep. with some, you know, goals. And you know, otherwise it'll just keep.
Well, we're going to see this. Yeah. We're going to see the project schedule. Craig's going to bring that back.
Yeah, he's.
And then we'll massage that. And
I think that's partially the accountability too. Is an agreed upon project schedule
right.
that then it's here's where your name is,
yeah.
and we all agree that this is the project schedule, and you're accountable for your part of it.
And maybe that if you don't get your stuff done, you're going to impact
right.
the next.
Yep.
I appreciate the disbursement of the responsibilities, too. I mean, I think the
yeah.
most powerful part of that process was everybody being around the table together and various people taking responsibility for different parts of the project and it not all being in the hands of one person
yep.
or
taking
one department.
Taking it out of the hands of accounting.
I mean, they're
going to be involved in all of these,
yeah.
but asking them to be responsible for the implementation, I mean, it's unrealistic.
It's unrealistic. They don't have the capacity to
right.
do all that.
Yeah, and even if they did, who wants to do, I mean, who
yeah.
wants to be responsible for every
Everything.
Single one of these? That's
you're
insane.
About fatigue.
Well,
yeah.
not only do they not have the capacity, they don't really have the ability.
Well,
two different words.
I mean, it's like one of us telling, you know, a department, here's how you do your job. I mean, it's hard to come in from outside of that world and opine on what should be, what is the logical next step.
You know, it is a little frustrating on my part to think that we're creating a second set of chart of accounts in the last 5 years. Last 3 or 4 years, yeah. And again, I don't know what the hell the timing was on this. How we decided now to do this,
right.
come we didn't do it before we started off on the ERP.
That's exactly what we should have done.
No shit.
We should have been moving quicker
yeah.
years ago.
Well, I
figured out how we're going to cook the meat and haven't even found the beef yet.
I think they were, you know, talking about accounting. I mean, it was really about timing.
It was
timing. They didn't have enough
time. So when they did what they could do, I understand.
Should have started 2 years earlier.
There was a method to the madness, and they had science, whatever they did. But, you know,
yeah.
It's frustrating to have to do the same thing twice, though.
That's exactly that's
yeah.
my frustration.
Talk about a waste of resources.
Yeah, it's just like, wow. Holy shit, we're going to do it twice. Well, hopefully we'll learn something on the first one.
But I think
twice is good.
It shouldn't be as big a project because they've done it so recently. It's just then the refining those sort of those lower tier pieces of it, I think. You know, I don't think you're thinking about general fund versus something else. And you're really at that much lower org level.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So hopefully it's not a giant pain. But
hope springs eternal.
I know. I mean, that's, again, it's part of seeing the project plan and thinking about what else
yeah.
is going on, you know.
But yeah, I'm super anxious to see what Craig comes back with and what that
yeah.
project schedule looks like.
So he's working on the action plan now, and one of the things, I mean, so he shared with me a very skeletal version of, like, the first of these things, so it's not even, like, all of the project stuff yet, but, I mean, what he's putting in there is key, which is define roles. So defining employee roles using the RACI model. So
you, we haven't
about
seen that,
have we? Okay. No, and this is not ready for prime time.
Yeah.
This is a full-on, like,
yeah.
not even draft.
Okay.
But, you know, just the idea that the RACI being responsible, accountable, consulted, and informed, he's going to build that for each of these programs. So, you know, you're going to look at something like this where you've got a table, and it shows who is responsible, who is also accountable, and, you know, all of those things. So, in essence, being able to see some of those responsibilities, I think, you know, kind of like our earlier conversation around the timeline or calendar for budget process, who is responsible, when does it happen, you know, what's also contingent on it, how do we get something done, who's responsible to get that done.
And be prepared to adjust your schedule.
Absolutely. But, I mean, then you at least know who's supposed to be involved,
yeah.
right? And
right.
when there's a problem, who's next.
Oh, yeah.
was described, even one neck to
critical path
choke. Yep. So
I've used that kind of model before, and I think it's incredibly helpful because the idea is that you only have one A, only one person gets an A for accountable.
Yep.
And they're the ones who are make sure everything gets done. They're the person, the single person. And
or they're the ones that report back and say, we really can't do this.
Right. And I have found that even just that clarification to be incredibly helpful in project management. Like, no, it's not your job. It's this person's job.
Yeah, you may be consulted, but you're not accountable.
Right.
Ultimately. Anyway, I think that that structure should help people because I think, honestly, what's been a struggle is just getting off the starting blocks and moving some of this down the path. And so having somebody who's responsible to drive it and who knows that, has predictability around the team should help.
So will our GFOA be with us on an ongoing basis?
That's the idea. Yeah, I think that he's going to come back the end of this month, next month in January, end of January, and walk us through this action plan, and we'll refine it and hopefully finalize the action plan. And my understanding is from there, we've set aside money in the budget to have them work with us on an ongoing basis, and that's the purpose of that money.
Yeah, because I've said a couple times here that the schedule will be adjusted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There'll be some missed milestones, but then somebody has to rebuild the schedule.
And
to account for the missed milestones, I don't know that will we internally have that capability?
Yeah, I guess I'm not disagreeing that we probably will have to do that, but I'm thinking it's also what ends up blowing up the schedule is making decisions. And, you know, someone taking responsibility to make that decision, you know, and making it the right way. And
yes.
I just don't think we've made collective decisions on this. You know, it's been accounting, and because it was sort of you have to go do this in that time frame. Now it's a question of getting those right people in the room. And so I think that's my bigger concern, that somebody like Craig can be leaned upon with his knowledge and help make some decisions and walk through that process. I think he was good at facilitating with the group what he's seen, you know, asking the provocative question around, like, the pools, for instance, and, you know, being able to disagree to an extent and kind of get to the bottom line. So
still, any schedule, you've either built in time contingencies,
right,
or you better be prepared to make adjustments as you move forward.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible to complete the project within the original schedule, but there's always unforeseen.
So, you know, past the first four, you know, the asset management module, how do we know that any of these things, the juice is worth the squeeze? Payroll, I can understand we want to definitely want payroll. That makes sense. But
I don't think
reporting training and asset management module and
some of those, I think, from about 5 actually on down. I'm not sure that payroll is its own process and obviously whatever, but the rest of those, I think, for the most part, are either completed and or need some training to them. I don't know that they necessarily need more munis to them or more munis process, although CIP might get pulled in when we do budget. But I think that the asset management, the plan was essentially to look at it. You know, we haven't seen it in its current version with 2019. We want to know what it does. We want to know why we would
Did we want to see what that does in regards to minimized labor on the pool concept? Is that why? Or,
I think it was inventory tracking.
Accountability on the assets.
I think it was accountability on assets. And I guess the example might be like fleet. And, you know, did we buy a lemon? Do we have like a piece of equipment that needs to be replaced sooner than planned? Or is it?
Because during that discussion, we were also talking about PubWorks and the rest.
Right. And that was the thing where, in that discussion, if I recall, Craig talked about fleet dude. So that we have facility dude. Fleet dude is a good, inexpensive option when it comes to fleet management. And so that I think the question is still, is Munis the right place to record some of this information, or does it go into the dude solution? And is it a fleet dude purchase that's cheaper and less missiles? But yeah, then you've got sort of that work order concept and the asset management there. I think that was still to be determined, and they were going to look at the module before moving down the Munis path.
Yeah, I thought that was helpful that he talked about that fact that you don't have to do everything in Munis, that there are going to be times you're going to want to use that other piece of software,
yeah.
Which I didn't like at first, but I realized that there's going to be some things Munis just can't do the way people want to do things.
Yeah, I think he wants, you know, would advocate for the system of record concept that Munis should have, you know, your financials in it, but is this a key financial? It's debatable. Tracking the level of assets, you know, it's really driven by some of those departments, the public works, airport, IT kinds of departments, the pool managers, really, right? And so if it's useful to them to do it in Munis, then great. If it's not, then let's find the best solution.
Right? Yeah, let's make sure we determine whether or not Munis can do it
right
first.
And that's the plan, is look at the Munis module, the asset management module, and then decide from there. And
who was going to do the asset management module?
I think that was going to be
Mike Martin.
Yeah, Public Works was going to lead that. And right. I think they were looking at maybe the end of January that they might even be able to get an eye on that, and then from there determine how quickly they could move down the path. And that was one of the things I guess I was sort of least comfortable with, and why I'm hedging a little bit on the project schedule. The action plan is, I felt like what we agreed to was, let's just get it started all in January. And mm-hmm. I'm not sure that's necessary. And I guess that's where the three of you guys decide, you know, how fast do we need to get some of this stuff done? I mean, there's certainly, like, let's make the thing functional, let's use it, and you know, let's get down that path as quickly as we can. But, you know, I imagine there's a point where we gum our works up again and we can't get things done. We try to do it all.
Well, is Craig going to be bringing back a project schedule that shows everything getting started in January?
I'm not sure. I think he's going to go based on what we agreed, so I assume that's possible.
Because, yeah, we put dates to everything, didn't we?
I think,
pretty much.
In the beginning, we certainly did. I think we got to about five to the asset management module.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty critical when we see that schedule for us, you, everybody, I don't know, to review that schedule and do the massaging at the front end that actually makes sense.
Right.
Be really thoughtful about it.
Because
I agree with you, yeah.
There's time to all of it, right? You know, there's you know, a department is busy and they
can't. And everybody's got to do their own jobs.
Right.
They have their day-to-day job.
Yep. And that was the idea was this is on the side, and yet at some level, hopefully by taking smaller bites of it, that it's manageable to do your day job in this. But yeah, that'll be interesting.
Like I say, a bad schedule is better than no schedule.
Is that what you said?
I say it all the time.
Great.
I used to. Yep.
That's how I write.
You got to have a schedule. You can't get nothing. You can't get anything done if you don't have a schedule.
Fair enough. Just keep pushing it back.
You're just floundering about, pretending that you're doing something.
Well, that is how you get into these, like, never-ending implementations. Is that, I mean, it's one thing to have a deadline and say we need to push it back a couple weeks versus, like, there's no end in sight.
Yeah.
We have no idea when this is going
to
be over.
But it's also not adequate to just put an end date and say you will be done by such and such a date.
Right.
You have to analyze how you get to that point.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is you need to analyze what the finish line looks like.
Right.
I think all these need to know what the finish line looks like, too. I mean, what does payroll mean? And are we still talking about payroll? We're still talking about the classification thing that isn't.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't got completed yet as well.
So, TBD on that detail.
Munis/GFOA.
I mean, it should be, though, honestly. Yeah. It shouldn't be that we do, like, this isn't about Munis, at least in my mind. It is because it's system of record, but it's not about, like, that one system. It's about our overall system and how it all works.
Right.
So, there are going to be decisions we're going to have to make about policies for sure. So the way that he's structured the projects is essentially identifying a project manager, a timeline of implementation of that project, milestones, and detail to each one of those, and then has dependencies and challenges identified, meeting dates, and then team members, and then essentially a charter for the project and what they're trying to accomplish. So that's what we'll see when he's done with these things for each one of the projects. I think he's probably, my guess, based on where he was last week, is a couple weeks away, but you know he's going to run out of time to be here at the end of the month. So we'll see. But, I mean, I thought it was productive, you know, to have him here and good conversations. I think, you know, whoever said the having everyone in the room thing, and that was huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we got a lot done in a short period of time on Friday for sure. And hopefully by having spent those first 2 days on discussion, it really sped the process up on Friday to get to that voting and have it be coherent for people to understand what they were voting on. So, I mean, if nothing else, takeaway is we're moving forward.
Totally. I mean, the whole thing, it doesn't make any difference how much you've screwed up something for 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years. At a certain point, you go, stop. Say, this is what we're going to do moving forward. Yeah. And it's a shame that we screwed up back there, but that doesn't inform how we move forward.
Yeah. Or it does, but well, it doesn't.
Well, I guess the question is how do you say that we screwed up?
Well, I mean,
we're hopefully moving to a better world.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we all agree that, I mean, we just talked about it here earlier. Ideally, we would have hired GFOA. And then before,
or at least got
well,
his
actually, GFOA helped us get the ERP, helped us get Munis. They should have known then that we should have done the chart of accounts before we implemented and before we bought the system.
And like I said, it's a big collective.
I understand. Now we find out on the back end that, hey, we should have done some more up front.
You know, right.
Yep.
With the dying system.
But the milk got spilled.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So I don't know if there are questions, additional comments. I mean, since we're all there for at least part of the day on Friday, I don't know how much more we need to hash any of that out.
I think my comment would only be that, you know, some of these might be easier tasks and can be moved up, taken off the list and completed, as I think it's always good to. So, I'm going to be fine with this response back, and I'm fine with the voting on it as well, and the rest. So, I mean, that shows some buy-off on it.
So tell me, Dan, how do you envision the review and the massaging of the project schedule that Craig's going to bring back? I mean, how long will that take?
My understanding, he'll be here for a couple of days, is that we're probably going to spend a couple of days going through the detail of it.
As the big group again?
Probably.
Bring the big group back together.
I think it makes sense, you know, again, yeah, from the buy-off standpoint and for everyone to have eyes on and understand.
So in real time, he'll be able to move those schedule bars around.
Yeah, I think he would want to know what are milestones throughout the year that people either can't move or that need to inform the project schedule and be able to move some things around based on that. And you know, he's not going to know that until he comes on site, so we'll have to have that.
But still, at the end of those 2 days, we will have the adopted schedule.
I think so. I think that was the plan. And if not, then it would be that he's got to go back and refine it off-site and send it to us. I mean, I can't imagine that we couldn't complete it on site.
Okay.
And I will say the one comment about moving forward, you know, the purchasing thing, the P cards, we actually will issue an RFP next, actually end of this week, I think it's going to be.
I thought Julia said that, yes.
Yeah, so that we're already able to just execute. You know, there are things like that that are probably elements of some of these projects that we can just get going on. So we'll try.
Excited to move forward.
Yeah. Give you 10 minutes. You're dead.
Okay. 7, Dan. Only 7 minutes. Well, that clock is wrong.
I want to go off.
Sure.
7 minutes.
Sounds great. So we'll call our regular meeting to order. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Chair, I move that we approve the accounts payable in cycle date 12/23 through 12/27. Regular checks of $269,242.10 and some miscellaneous payroll checks in the amount of $1,141.08 and total approved to be $270,383.18. Noting the county manager's review and approve such.
Second.
Tom, items to know?
I have a few items. First one we sort of discussed earlier. This is the Baseline Engineering Corp, and this is for road and bridge and engineering of the Cow Creek Culvert Project, $11,075.80. The total contract we have with Baseline for a minor bridge engineering this year was $19,700. Payment to CML Security LLC. This is from the facilities medical budget. A security system replacement at the jail, cost of $3,607.23. We had payment to our dedicated for our dedicated mill levies, the distributions for the development of disabilities, the distribution to Horizon Specialized Services. This is for the November 19th tax distribution, $12,985.31. And we also had distributions of the Museum and Heritage Tax Fund. Payment to Motorola Solutions. This is for the comm center. This is additional licensing for a remote dispatch system. Payment of $10,000. Payment to Credit-tron. I have to say that right. Sure, it's not Credit-ron, but it's Credit-tron Corporation, Treasurer's Office. This is for a deposit check for the new scanning system, $4,142. And I should let you know that I believe I sent it in my email to you when I forwarded this, the worksheet or the baseline or the data sheet for the accounts payable. There's also payments, not 2019, but also 2020. And these are dollars that accounting tells me have been processed, and they will flow into the 2020 budget. But evidently, we've made the purchase now. So not sure, or sure if I need to talk with Sternett. He wasn't available last week, but I'm not sure how that complies with the laws of can't spend $20 dollars until 2020. So I need to have that discussion with him, how that works, because we definitely spent the dollars.
But if we're approving, I don't understand.
Well, it became a supplemental budget for 2019.
Could end up being a supplemental budget for 2019. Agreed.
What were those things?
You know, it was $18,513.
Yeah, we brought you ought to keep us updated on that.
I definitely will.
A little bit weird.
I'll find out a little bit more about it.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you.
And that come from the well? That
came from the accounts payable worksheet. From Noel that she did, but is requested by the department.
Perfect. Yeah.
So, Jason.
Hello.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Madam Chair, I would move to approve consent agenda items A, B, and C, noting that item C will be resolution 2019-90.
I actually, on the minutes, I think that there's a revision that needs to be made. So if we could pull item A and then go back, that would be great.
So is your motion then to approve
B
and C?
B and C,
That'd be great.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So on the minutes, I believe.
And we need a resolution for C,
too.
We got it.
19-90.
By the way,
On the minutes under the PDR item, so the purchase of the the PDR item. There we go. The Oak Creek Mountain project. There were some comments in here.
Didn't catch us. David something
that said they were Mary Alice. That I think probably.
Looks like I got a voicemail back from him.
Those were from Claire Sollers. It seems unlikely to me that Mary Alice was letting us know the conditions that needed to be met and the value of the conservation easement. I don't know. That just seemed incorrect to me. I'm sure Mary Alice, I know she was there, and I think she thanked us for.
I think it might have been Linnea.
Yeah, I actually think it might have been Linnea, too.
Well, I guess I would just request maybe if we could go back and double check, because I don't think that those statements were made by Mary Alice. And if you can't tell from the recording, we could probably help you.
Thank you.
Right here. Ashley, those three items and the paragraph that followed, correct? This entire paragraph again.
So these two I was talking about. Yep, exactly.
So you're going to check on these two? And then we'll just.
So could we put them on the agenda for next week for approval after we double check that? Great. So we'll table then.
Madam Chair, I move we table the minutes for whatever day was that?
November 12th, 2018.
Till next week.
One second.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. I see no members of the public here for public comment.
It was nice that you scheduled 3 minutes for them.
Well, if they were here, we would have even been generous and given them a few more minutes, but they're not here, so we're good. So we'll move on to our communications item.
Good timing.
Yeah.
All right, so we are here for consideration of the signing of the bill of sale for the Emerald Mountain Tower site.
That's correct. So let me provide background information on it.
Great, thank you.
In May of 2017, Rouse County entered into a memorandum of understanding with the Governor's Office of Information Technology and Communication Services, and that MOU has provisions where the state of Colorado will install, maintain, and operate the public safety statewide digital trunk radio system equipment and microwave radio equipment at what was then the proposed Emerald Mountain Communication site. Then in May of 2018, Rouse County entered an MOU with the City of Steamboat Springs and Yampa Valley Electric Association concerning the construction of a telecommunications tower and related facilities at the Emerald Mountain site. That MOU has provisions where the city would obtain access, finance construction, and then the county would oversee construction and undertake ongoing maintenance. YBEA will lease the site for use as public safety communications facility. And other provisions of the MOU outline that the city would transfer ownership of all the communication facilities to the county after construction for future operation and maintenance. And in September of 2019, Rouse County entered into a communication site use agreement and ground lease agreement. That agreement includes provisions where the property is to be used as a non-commercial communication site. The agreement also states that the site is to be used for the county's emergency services communication equipment, state of Colorado communications equipment, YBEA equipment, as well as the Federal Aviation Administration Wide Area Multilateration System, which is essentially their radar system. The communication site use agreement and ground use agreement will be in place until May 21st, 2058, unless terminated before then. The construction project has been completed and closed out according to the City of Steamboat Springs construction agreement and their internal policies and procedures. The city has provided an executed bill of sale. The acceptance of that bill of sale is the reason why we're here today. And for the record, the amount of the transfer or the expenditure on behalf of the city asset value is $455,375.93.
I don't have any questions.
Yes, so that's why I have a question. Why do we need to do this? It seems like we already have. And what happens if we don't?
The county attorney said that it needed to be done.
our attorney said
yes,
it needed to be done? Okay.
We always take his word.
You know, because, I mean, we already had the other two agreements in here. I mean, I guess it's belts and suspenders.
So my understanding, in speaking with the county attorney, this is the official document that says the county now owns the facilities that the city spent $455,000 on.
Well, that's all good. I'm just, like I said, I just seem odd.
I asked the same question.
But we're not actually writing them a check.
That's correct. They're transferring ownership of the agreement, and part of the agreement that we've already have signed says that the county will continue for the life of it to maintain the facilities.
The funky thing is, I think that Stranad told us that we're accounting for this whole thing. We're going to be putting it in our books for $495,000.
We're going to be putting it in our books for replacement.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're also putting the contribution.
Well,
in,
here's CTSI. This is a CTSI form.
Yeah, which
That's exactly what's happening.
Well, even better, they sent it to me and just asked me to sign it, and I was like, I have to send this to Eric first.
Right.
So we propose the life of this stuff.
So question I'd have you then, too, Jason. So, I mean, you sent us the pictures, and I think you'd informed us if there was something not up to snuff that we had agreed to have it up to snuff or whatever, it up to... You know, everything's acceptable.
And that's one of the nice things. I mean, there were positives and negatives in having us manage it on behalf of another governmental organization as project manager. So that whole process went really well. I have to say, working with the city, working with Winnie, working with Shelley St. Pierre, their purchasing agent, it was fairly painless. We had a few issues with the contractor back and forth. Some very minor issues that you would expect on a construction project. So it went very well, and we got nothing but very high praises, complimenting the contractor from our building department, Todd himself, and a number of other vendors that were involved, saying this is a really good facility. Great. So everybody seemed to be very pleased with it. So I'm happy that we finally, the culmination of all this, we're finally here with it.
All right.
So I know you said that the county attorney's office already reviewed that, and I know that
yes.
That's true. Should we have him see this before we send it back over? On it, or
I'm not sure if this actually needs to go back over to the city or not. This may be. I'm not sure if this is recorded for our purposes or
recorded as well.
Definitely.
So I assume this will go back to the attorney's
office. It will, and I'll get Carrie to take care of that to make sure
that
is the original document as well.
Okay, sounds good.
Madam Chair, I would move to approve and authorize your signature on the bill of sale from the City of Steamboat Springs for the Emerald Mountain Communications Site, located at 38,400 Black Mirror Drive, Steamboat Springs.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thanks, Jason.
How's you guys? James out there doing? Everything all right?
Good.
Yes.
It's a good time to call you and come out and visit you.
Sure. Anytime. Anytime we're there.
Yeah, well, I assume you're there. You're there. Everybody's there. Somebody's there all.
All right. So we are considering reappointment of Dean Rossi, Tarn Dickerson, Claire Sollers, and Carl Vail for the Route County Purchase and Development Rights Citizens Advisory Board for each for a 3-year term. Per our communication form, there were these openings were advertised, and there were no new letters of interest. But each of these current board members is interested in reappointment.
So, are those? Do you think those are going to be expiring on December 31st of 2022?
It's a great question. I thought there was a date in here. I guess not. It says 2020 appointments, so I am going to assume that the appointment begins in 2020 and runs through
2022.
The end of 2022.
Right. I'm agreeing with you. Yeah. Madam Chair, I move that we approve the reappointments of Dean Rossi, Tarn Dickerson, and Claire Sollers, and Carl Vail to 3-year terms expiring on 12/31/2022.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right.
All right. Well,
got a chance to look at the kind of the agenda item. I can probably work off of this. Copies, or if you have it open, it's just the this CIP.
Yep.
You're looking at that. So I really wanted to just make sure I'm not getting ahead of myself as I talk to the FAA on future projects. You're very familiar with what we're going to do in 2020. The first thing we wanted to do as a result of the discretionary grant that we received in November was see if we couldn't parlay that into something we really need, because it essentially that $1.5 million that we received from the FAA took the burden off of our entitlement money in 2021. So 2020 was already gone back to Aspen to pay them back. 21 was going back to pay ourselves back for money we thought we were going to take out of our reserves. So what I'm starting to run through the FAA is we have a burning need to replace one of our brooms. We've got a broom that, you know, as we developed a CIP program on large equipment, we start tracking costs and things. If I had that data right now, I could tell you that, you know, if it was a tractor on your ranch, you'd sell it.
A lemon.
Yeah, so it was bought as an emergency. It wasn't designed to do the job it was done. It was modified, basically dump truck. They put a broom on the front of it. They put another engine where the bed of the dump truck should go.
To
run the broom.
So it's got two engines. It's got the truck engine and then the boom engine, which I suppose is probably.
So it's just a Western Star. It'd probably be a pretty good dump truck if that's what it was, because that was designed to do. But anyway, we have been battling that thing since before I got here. I'd like to just get rid of it. So it's over 10 years old, which is a threshold where the FAA is. If it's not over 10 and we don't pay for it, you can't get rid of it. But since it's over 10 and it's a problem child, they potentially support us using our entitlement money in 21 to do it. You know, they would prefer, with all the big projects that we're going to talk about next, for us to just stash that entitlement money and dedicate it down the road. But I've made a pretty strong case that.
But you've already got your discretionary money is already allocated to the projects. And, I mean, you already that in the construction project.
But discretionary projects mandate that you use all your entitlement money first. So anytime they give you discretionary, so if I have a $5 million project, they're going to give me $3.7 million of discretionary and assume that all of my $1.3 million of entitlement will go toward it. So
So keep talking. Yeah. So the sheet was hard to follow. I appreciate where you're heading and what you're talking about doing. So it's all kind of, I know we've had problems with the broom. We've had problems with the broom. So we're all.
And
all of our entitled money will have been spent prior to that.
Well, it would be dedicated to the next big project, which would be design and construct the de-ice pad.
Okay.
They would, you know, a $4 million project, you know, we're showing $1.3 million, but the only reason it's not more is because they thought we were going to have to pay ourselves back. So they thought our entitlement money was going toward the 2020, what is now the 2020 project for the terminal. And now that's not, everybody's like a sigh of relief. You know, you don't have to pay yourselves back, but their knee-jerk reaction would be dedicate that money to the $4 million project the next year. And we're saying not so fast. We have this other problem
with the
broom we'd like to take care of. And we're not asking you for more money. We're just not giving you the relief of that entitlement money. We have a good use.
So it sounds like that just defers the de-icing pad down the road.
It won't change that schedule at all.
So where's the rest of the money coming from then? Would that all be discretionary grant?
No, they would have just reduced our discretionary money. $1.3 million is what they would have done. And it would have gone to somebody else.
Yeah, let's not do that.
No, I'm not with you.
So what's the cost of that de-ice pad, total cost?
$4 million, you just said.
Well, it's
$4 million.
It's almost $6 million.
But it's in two phases, right?
Yeah, it's design.
Oh, three phases. No, two phases.
Yeah, it is two phases. So it's design and then construct.
So right,
we got the $670,000 of design in 2021?
Yes, correct.
And then...
See, there's all these numbers, too.
Yeah.
Then there's more in...
It's actually...
There's some in 2020 and some in 2021.
It's $744,000.
Well, that, one of the confusing things about this format, which I don't like either, but I don't...
Just looking at your other one.
Oh.
That had your logo at the top.
Okay.
I mean, we can look at that one. That's the one
either
you
one.
Showed us.
I've got both here.
Got it.
Is it this one?
What was the one you held up and said, this is the one I'm looking at? Oh, no, I guess that is that
it
one.
It is. Well, so what I was going to say is the confusing thing is the date of the year on the left column is below the data for that year.
Oh.
That is
confusing. Exactly.
So it's in 2021 and 2022.
Yes.
Got it.
Right. So what if we didn't speak up, what they would have done in 2021 was just...
So, but I think you're looking at a different one.
Use 670.
Yeah, go down some more.
Going
down some more is.
I don't know what.
Come up with this sheet.
Keep going. Up more, or maybe it's just a different. Oh, it's a different document. So go back to the agenda form, and he's looking at a different one.
So keep going.
Here, okay. It's this one.
So. We had a preliminary only with our engineer, which is pretty low level, so it's not at the ADO level yet. But he supports this idea.
This is just one document.
You know, it's you're not taking money out of our pocket. You're using money that we freed up for you. So congratulations, you got that $1.5 million. And it seems like a valid use of your discretionary for your entitlement money in 2021. So I've got the support of the engineer, but I wanted to get in front of you folks before I go down and talk to the ADO, who's the real decision maker, and that'll be at the end of January. So
tell us the high version of this again. So we originally were gonna be using this $1.5 million for the DI pad. Is that right?
Yes, we weren't going to spend all of it.
So that was the...
We were going to use $670,000.
Okay. That and the broom is $630,000, I'm following you.
Yep.
So that would be done during
2021.
Yep.
I mean, they can still say no, but I just want to make sure you guys were on board with this purchase and this use of entitlement money. And understood why I think it's important for us.
Well, what happens if they do say no then?
We don't build it.
No, if they do say no, we will continue to try and
doctor the broom.
Yeah. So,
or try to figure out, or go for another discretionary grant to get.
Well, they won't do. They won't use discretionary for
a grant. I mean,
and that's more than you want to take out of reserves.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't planning on buying that thing until this $1.5 million came in.
Right.
And then between our engineer, Jeremy, and I said, we need to start looking forward and pull some of these things forward.
Well, I'm with Beth. I'm waiting along to give them $1.5 million back if we need to. If we can show the cause and the proof, or not the cause, but show the need and the...
And the other thing about doing this is our other need on snow removal equipment is we have two really old Volvo plow trucks. They're not critical, but we do use one of them every time we plow. So I guess it is sort of critical. We could do it with a motor grader, but we do use those old ones. They're overdue. We've pushed them back already. They're overdue for replacement. They still run. We take good care of them. But instead of trying to sell this problem child plow, if we get funding to replace it, we will revert it back to a plow truck. It actually came
you mean
to
the
us.
Broom truck.
But what is now the broom,
if
we revert back. Instead of selling that as a broom to somebody else and making it somebody else's problem.
Yeah. The truck itself is still a good enough truck to continue to be a snow plow truck.
It actually came with a big blade. So it came as a
plow truck.
And that big bright's still in really good shape, huh?
It's brand new. Yeah, it's brand new, never been used. And that, and the FAA liked that a lot as well. They liked the fact that we're not just trashing that piece of equipment, but using for it for what it was originally designed for. And then as we started to talk about a...
So where is the... where's the terminal then?
2020. I'm not talking about that because I feel like...
So this isn't, it isn't part of this discussion at all?
No.
No, I'm just talking 21 through 24. 2020 is in the books. It's going to happen.
But it's not, but it's on list, it's not,
it's
on this
listed
sheet
here under schedules 2, 3, and 4, right?
Yes.
Okay.
How come they,
but it's only listed at 1 point. Oh, that's because this is just the entitlement monies.
Right.
It's not the total cost of the project because the discretionary monies are not included in this part.
Well, it's still included in some of 2019. It's spread over 2 years. This doesn't reflect the fact that we didn't do it in 2019.
So that's AIP 47 that's listed here.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so that's making a little more sense then.
Okay.
Because so the whole project is basically the AIP 47 is going to be $5 million, isn't it? Something like that.
$4 million.
Yeah.
And it, just to make things more confusing, this new grant is AIP 48. So we now have two grants funding the terminal project.
Right.
How come the entitlement monies gyrate from year to year?
They don't. They may, we may not spend it all in 1 year.
Oh, that's, you're showing how you're spending the money, not what's actually coming in.
Yeah.
All right.
And it'll typically be our 5% or whatnot. It'll be whatever it is, but then our local match will be the 5%.
Right.
And then the column for the CDAG funds is their 5%, unless 5% exceeds $250,000, and then their contribution is $250,000. So anyway, if you guys are good with us continuing to advocate to get a new broom and transition the truck or the current broom into a truck, I think we're going to be successful with the FAA in doing that.
So does that mean the Volvos, you'll still keep the two Volvos?
Yeah, and then we'll have two to make one, essentially. Yeah.
How old are they, 70s or?
No, I think they're approaching 22 years old, something like that. We don't have a lot of time on them, just because we only use one at a time, and we only kind of haul a lot of stuff in the off season. So, but they are showing some wear and tear.
So we're not going to be doing any more terminal expansions until after 2026 at the earliest.
Correct. Yeah.
But we believe that the terminal will be adequate between now and then.
Unless two or three more airlines come in and
want to turn us into a hub.
Yeah. So the next project, you don't have these, so I can probably just share. Everybody, but,
we're good at sharing, don't we?
Yeah, we had that on.
Did you? Okay.
Oh,
so,
amazing.
So the 21,
I think so.
I'm sorry. Yeah, the 20.
Oh, you know.
It's a different picture.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
21 design and construct the ice pad treatment facility and apron rehab is actually. We'll have you this one instead. Yeah. So,
well, it's a good thing my life didn't depend on this battery. You know.
You'd really be in trouble.
Yeah, you know, my computer's run all the way down to 84%.
Is that
started
right?
This morning.
Yeah, good.
We'll just get Doug a solar panel.
Oh,
there you go.
Renewable. So the de-ice pads that we have right now, and again, I'll go back to this one, but the de-ice pads we have right now are de-ice 3. De-ice 2 is actually rectangular here, but this is the portion of it we use. And then de-ice 1 is what we inherited from over here from the FBO. So we have on the books, and this is where, like last Saturday, this is where delays were created because there was not enough de-icing space. There's enough trucks. Actually, both ground handlers increased their inventory by one. So we have a total of 8 commercial de-ice trucks now, as opposed to 6 last year. But they got blocked. They blocked themselves because they can only do 2 really airplanes at a time. This one's basically unusable. And so they had people that wanted de-ice, and they had de-ice going on in these two. And so we really need another de-ice spot. And what the 21-22 project does is first design in 21 with about half of our entitlement money. And what we're looking at right now is putting it over here on the east side of our current apron. And what that does, we had originally thought we would put it up back over here, and we actually put some material in here in years gone by to build that up, thinking that would be the right way. But I've been working with our engineers over the past year, and there is just not a good way to utilize two
isn't that where the
right next to each other.
Right here? Isn't that where the low land area is, that creek area?
If you go far enough over there. But so we've actually built this up, so there's like baggage carts and stuff built up on that. But even then, if we built it the rest of the way up and we put a de-ice pad here, it's not convenient to get 2 airplanes right next to each other de-icing. And what you'd like is another one like this that's kind of standalone, and we have the ability to do that over here. So we have the space.
So where's the fuel farm? Fuel farmed here.
So this is the terminal. These are the 2 FBO hangars. The fuel farms here on the east side of them.
You said on the east side.
Yeah, that's where we're going.
Oh, they're going on the east. Oh, so okay. That's where I was trying to relate it to the fuel farm. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's okay.
Now the other good thing about it is this: the ice pad is plumbed to drain to our existing glycol ponds. If we expand this, it would be more of a chore to tie into this and feed those glycol ponds.
So does this one drain all the way over
to
there?
It does. Yeah, it does. As does this one. But this one is independent, and it would be easier to hook onto. So, I've pitched this to the FAA. They know this is what we want to do, and they have preliminarily allocated $4 million to what is about a $6 million project. What we've added to that and what brought that price up is also rehabilitation of all this pavement. Right, so this was all leased by the FBO, and as long as it was generating revenue for us, the FBO doesn't, or the FAA doesn't pay to rehab it. And it's broken up, the asphalt's bad, it needs attention. And so,
why asphalt instead of concrete?
It's both. I mean, this is concrete. There is some concrete in here, but there's asphalt here and around this corner.
If money was no object, we'd put concrete in.
Yeah, and we may. I mean,
we put concrete
here, and at the time that we were doing concrete, it was cheaper than asphalt.
That's so odd to me that the concrete would ever be cheaper than asphalt.
Mm-hmm. It was to me, too.
Yeah. Well, they did a section of Highway 13 up north of Craig.
Yeah.
And that was the...
Driven it.
And they said, I said, why did you do that out of concrete? Because it was cheaper.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. You hit every one of those seams, and it's not nearly as nice a ride as asphalt.
Well, that must have been when the price of oil was really high. Now the oil is low. Asphalt's cheap.
So those are the 2 main projects, like I said, designed in 21, build in 22. And then
sheets. Is that the same thing?
This one?
Since my computer. Right.
Sure.
Is that the same?
Or do you want this? I've got additional ones of these too.
That's great. Thank you.
So beyond that, in 23 and 24, 23 we're looking at what is called a blast pad. So I'll show you on this diagram. So again, this is our primary runway, runway 10 landing from the west. And you can see, you can just barely make out these chevrons here, but that's like a paved overrun. So the actual runway
starts... What's a chevron?
Starts right there.
Huh?
It's a shape.
Paint.
Oh,
okay. So it's painted arrows.
Okay.
That say land this direction.
Okay.
And the runway ends right here.
And so this is dirt. And this is paved. So if you land short on 1-0, your wheels touch down on pavement. If you land short on 2-8, your wheels touch down in dirt.
Or that's not good, is it?
No. So everybody lands long, so they won't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Which then now becomes a safety issue. If you're landing long intentionally and it's icy or,
right,
you know, then it's a safety issue. FAA really wants us to build a blast pad here. And I'm with them. We should do that. So that's...
Why are they called a blast pad?
Because that's where your engine blast goes when you're running up. So if you pull out, you know...
You put the brakes on, and then they jack up the throttle, and then take the brakes off, and off you go.
So if you've ever driven around the end of a runway, you'll see those deflectors behind the blast pad to deflect that jet blast up over your cars. We don't have any of that because our access road's way out here. But anyway, they want to do that. The other thing they want to do...
Which will also help with those short landing.
You still shouldn't land short. It's not stressed the way that a runway is.
But still, it's better than dirt.
But it's much better than dirt, yeah. The other thing that they want to do is similar to what we did in 2015, where we rehabilitated the whole runway and we added paved shoulders on each side. They want to rehabilitate the whole taxiway and put paved shoulders on it. And that's great for us.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But the taxiway itself, the pavement is due for replacement, so the mill and overlay is due. Paved shoulders, it's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, if they want to do it, it's well worth our
5%. So is that under the discretionary? Is that where you'd be doing that?
See the $7 million?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's now 2024?
23 and 24.
Okay.
We won't use discretionary in the design. We'll be using our entitlement money for the design.
Right.
That's that $720.
Yep, yep.
And here's an example where we don't use all $1.3 million of our entitlement money in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And we save what we don't spend for the big $7 million project. And that's their expectation. Right? So,
okay.
Paving the shoulders here will put all our lighting. So we have, just like the runway, we have lighting that outlines the taxiway as well. And it will put those lights inside the pavement, which will make it easier for us to do snow removal, just like it did with the runway. So I'm in favor of it. Is it the greatest use of taxpayer money? I'm not sure, but they want to do it. That's the new standard.
Well, I'm sure it's probably a safety thing.
It is.
We're working off lists to keep for everybody. I suppose yours, airport included.
Yeah.
He who pays the piper calls the tune.
Now, the other thing that we absolutely have to do is, so again, I'm just going to kind of outline, this is our new big apron, right? And, mm-hmm. and this part of it is the part we got back from the FBO. Well, this connector, this is our Alpha 4 connector right here. It comes directly onto the apron, and that's a no-no in FAA standards world.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want us to move it.
Move that thing? We already moved this one.
Yeah, we moved five. So we moved five this way about 500 feet 4 years ago. And that's kind of what they want us to do with Alpha 4, is move it that way 500 feet so that you can't come off the runway directly onto our apron. Or, more importantly, come off the apron and think you're going onto the parallel when you're actually going onto an active runway. It's a safety thing. You know? I don't have any issue with it. I just see no reason to move, to take that out and move it there when... If you look down here, there's actually a connector here and a connector here, and this is the end of the runway. And what this allows me to do is, if I'm sitting here blocking everybody from taking off and I can't get a clearance from Denver Center, I can taxi on and taxi off, and the guy behind me can take off.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice. It's like a little roundabout mm-hmm. down there. I don't have that down here. And we take off on 2-8 just as much as we do on 1-0. So I want them to move that all the way down here. Same money, mm-hmm. no difference in price. And the fact is, I've got three and five. And just build this one and leave those where they are. And if you're landing this direction, you clear here. If you're landing this direction, you clear here. This one does not get used that much as it is. And now it won't be used at all because it won't be there. It'll be down here. But it gives us that same flexibility.
If they agree with you.
Because what happens right now is...
Houston Airbus A320 will be sitting there, and something's happening in Houston, and Denver won't release them. And what this guy does is does a dangerous U-turn because he can barely make it around. He comes back here, he comes on here, and then he back taxis, and he's on an active runway for a long time, and none of that is a good idea in the aviation world. So if you can do that, and this guy behind him can get right on.
FAA likes that idea too. So again, just at the engineering level, but I think the ADO will like it too. So I just wanted you guys to know kind of what I'm advocating for when I go down to Denver and talk to these folks. And it is, if you do the, I totaled this up, from our reserves, all of these things, 21 through 24, is going to draw us down almost $1.2 million out of our reserves. But our current reserves, now that we have the $1.5 million discretionary money, are projected at the end of 2020 to be $4.5 million.
And theoretically, you'll have the opportunity to build up in those later years anyway, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've been adding to the
right.
to the savings account every year. You know, knock on wood, the economy stays good, and we continue to do well.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I think it's a great investment all in all. Makes us a more viable airport than we are today.
I've got no reason to second guess you.
Yep. No, I appreciate the heads
it all
up.
Sounds great. So, thanks for running all that by us.
Sure.
Yeah, go get the money.
I'll try. I'll let you know when I get back in January if it goes as well as the preliminary stuff did. Any questions on other things?
I have one other. You and I had talked a while ago about, I'm sure Doug has already gone, but we were gone when you had the opening for the FBO because we were all at CCI, and I was hoping to come out and see it. And have you been out yet?
Just driven by it.
Yeah. Have you toured
it
yet?
I have been inside.
No. Yeah,
I was
so
over there Saturday.
So
you want to see the planes. There was six private jets came in while I was sitting there.
Really? It's the holiday season.
Oh, my God. It was just
yesterday.
Incredible.
One of them landed yesterday, and I went, what is I had my schedule out, right? And I go, who is that? Because it was bigger than
it was
original.
There was a 20-seater or something like that.
Oh, yeah. This thing is.
Can they accommodate? They can accommodate planes
yeah.
that big?
Yeah.
But anyway, could you schedule a time for us to come
Absolutely.
Out and...
We're going to do a tour in conjunction with February
the Airport Commission.
Commission meeting, but anytime.
You want to go too, Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could do it during the Airport Commission meeting.
Okay. Yeah.
February. But certainly.
I mean,
so in the alternate, maybe I should go to one of these meetings.
Well, you can go with her and go see the FBO thing and go through the tour of the building.
You tell me, because we can do it any day, anytime.
Deanna, can you take care of that for us?
Sure.
Thanks. Did you hear what I said?
No.
Okay. we want to schedule.
Of course, if two of us are there, then you have to allow somebody from the public to show up, too.
They're not going
to
be there, don't
worry. I know.
Can you schedule a time with the airport for Tim and I to come and tour the FBO? Thanks. And the two of you will just go
with
the Airport Commission?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or
Dan, you want to go?
With you guys.
So who was in the 25th?
Okay, Dan wants
who's
to come
with you. Saudi Arabia?
I don't know. I enjoyed having them right out in front of my office because I could kind of smile
see who
and
was
get the
there.
Number and stuff. And so they have a lot more privacy down where they are now.
Need a better
I felt
but
like,
you can go wherever you want, can't you?
We'll just get you some bigger binoculars.
It's harder to do.
I felt like I was stalking down there anyhow.
Do you have your binoculars?
Yeah, well, you know, there's people climbing out and go getting in their Escalades, you know, and the rest. And, then the Escalades were waiting at the plane.
Oh, they weren't calling for Uber, huh?
No, they weren't calling Uber, no.
Airplanes.
Alpine taxi with like 14 other people. They're not doing
it was.
That.
There was four of them landed within 20 minutes when I was just sat there and I might have had a Coke or a beverage with me, but
maybe Steve wants to get discovered by the rich people, huh?
Oh, I think it's.
I think it's
discovered.
Yeah.
You know what I actually learned is that the the PR people at the mountains, but specifically people come here because they keep it quiet, and people go to Aspen because they because it's big news.
Oh, they kind of
exactly.
Under the radar. How many people knew the Secretary of State was here?
Yeah.
But it's intentional.
Well, anyhow, I was sure impressed with the busyness. They were big. Pat was busy.
He doesn't have to park his airplanes on our.
I know nothing. He had four guys out there helping them, you know, with their green vests on and the rest. I mean, four of their guys out there helping them getting the planes chomped up and everything. So yeah, it was pretty incredible. Good deal for us. Good deal for you.
Great. So I'll be back on the 6th. If there's still time available on the 6th.
Yeah, we got time. Thank you. Already had another item on there for the 6th.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've got you on the agenda for the 6th.
We want to have a discussion about what kind of fiasco this solar stuff is.
Not today.
Yeah, I'm just trying
to
piggyback on
I know.
Somebody else, you know,
we
got
know.
Some money. And
we just want the information about what's going on.
What's the deal with all the agreements?
And just what our role is. We just want to understand that.
Yeah.
The project and Ralph County's role.
Frankly, I'm not sure I can explain your role in the
you want to bring
the